Welcome to the Grappling Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scaff. Today, I want to talk about competition. I want to talk about two different aspects of competing. One to do with the business, the other with jiu-jitsu. I think right now is one of the best times to open up a Brazilian jiu-jitsu school. This is one of the fastest growing sports in the country. Our school has really exploded over the past year. And I really expect that trend to continue for the next couple. It's just been fascinating to see how many people are starting to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It seems, again, like every podcast host has started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. They've been doing it. And I don't know, the sport right now, it's a good time. Now, here's the thing. Most cities, if there's 50-plus thousand people, especially if you're looking at an area that has 100-plus thousand people, more than likely, there's already a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school there. And usually, you're going to find multiple schools there. Take a place like Huntsville, Alabama. It's over 200,000 people now. And I remember when I first moved here, there was only two or three gyms within 30 miles. Now, there's over 15. There's a bunch of gyms. And a lot of people are really scared of competition, particularly with jiu-jitsu businesses. Like, a lot of school owners hate it, and they really resent the fact, like, when another school opens, they discourage cross training. They do not want their students mixing with students from another school. A lot of schools, they don't even like their students competing against schools from, like, a local students from a local school. They just don't want any interaction at all. And I think a lot of that is insecurities, but it's just the way a lot of people operate their business. They do not want somebody coming into their gym unless they are going to sign up. They do not want drop-ins. They do not want somebody from across town coming in and training with their students. And I get it, again, if you're insecure. But we've always really relished the fact that there are going to be other jiu-jitsu schools. And I always actually like hearing that a school has opened up. Now, let me explain. We've always had the policy that our doors are open. Anybody from anywhere can come train with us as long as they have a good attitude and they're willing to pay a mat fee. If you do not train at a 10th Planet school, all we ask is that you pay a $20 drop-in fee. That's not that bad. It's not that expensive. And honestly, most of the time, it's your first time. We let you train for free. And then we just tell you, look, if you want to come back, it's $20. And we don't care. You can come back as much as you want. If you want to come cross-train with us every single week, we would love to have you. We have never, ever, ever tried to poach students. I've never sent a student from another school a message asking him to come train, asking them to come train, asking them to switch teams. Never. Again, just say, hey, like, we enjoy having you, and if you want to come back, the doors are always open. And we've really seen, especially over the past 6 months, a lot of guys starting to switch from local schools to join our gym. And some of these guys, they've been cross-training with us on and off for the past few years, really the past 5 years, some of them. And they finally just decided that they wanted to switch. They just like training at our place more, even though it's further and a little bit of an inconvenience to travel to our gym. They just think the training's better, and they, again, enjoy the atmosphere. And that's kind of my mindset. Again, when a school opens up within 45 minutes, I think there's a good chance that a student eventually finds their way to our gym. And so I want people to, you know, a gym that's 40 minutes away. I want them to thrive. I want them to have and be able to make a living. But I also really believe in our product and think that if most people, if they come and they get a look at what we've got going on over here at 10th Planet Decatur, that, man, if they're able to, they're going to make the switch. And if you lead like that and you really believe in your product like that, then you'll always want competition because you just believe you're going to win. And if you're a brown belt and you're thinking about opening up, because I talk to people all the time, every single month, I talk to somebody, whether it's at our gym or somebody messages me because they know I've been in the game a long time. I've been operating a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school for years now. Me, Brandon, and Lindsay, we make a great team, and 10th Planet Decatur is really thriving right now. And so people are kind of, you know, always hitting one of us up, asking different aspects of the business. And For certain aspects, you're going to ask Brandon. Certain aspects, you're going to ask Lindsay. And then certain aspects, me. And I would tell anybody, look, if you're going to open up a gym now and the area that you're looking to open in is 100,000 plus people, so Huntsville, again, about 200, 250,000 people, you got 15-ish schools in that area. That's a lot of schools. And a lot of people are afraid. They go, why would somebody choose to train at my school over a more established school? Maybe a school has multiple black belts, or some school has a fifth degree black belt, and they have out big names for seminars and all this stuff. Look, you can rise to the top, I'm telling you, if you keep a couple of rules and you live by a couple of rules, if you lead by example, if you're always one of the last ones off the mat, if you're consistently learning and getting better, if you're open to challenges and you're open to having visitors come in and you're always willing to roll with them, win or lose, you're willing to always try your best. I'm telling you, eventually you will become the best school in your area. That's the formula we used, and it's paid off. It's paid off. So do not make that mistake of turning your school into a it's us versus them. Look, you want your students to be better than all the other students in the local area, of course. But don't ostracize and don't, you know, ban people from other teams. And if somebody comes in wearing a Gracie Baja rash guard, don't make them feel any different. Welcome everyone. Like, we always see, like, look, like, our main tribe is, yeah, 10th Planet Decatur. Those are our dudes. Those are, you know, a lot of these dudes are like family to me now. But if you do jiu-jitsu, man, you're part of my tribe. We vibe. Right? And so I'm not going to make you feel weird because you train at a different gym. If you want to come train with me, come train. As long as, again, you have a good attitude and you don't roll like a complete crazy person, you're going to have a good time. And I would love for you to come back and come back as often as you want. So lead by example. I'm telling you, a lot of school owners out there, I just eventually, I've seen it, you know, we've been in this game a long time. I see so many little controversies rise up in the local scene, the regional scene, the national scene. And if you live, you know, with whatever your definition of good morals is, you lead by example, people are going to want to follow you. And to boot, if you're consistently learning and challenging yourself and getting better at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, people are going to flock to you. Now, it's going to take some time, especially right when you open up, but I'm telling you, 5 to 10 years, you're going to be the main player in your area. Now, thinking a little bit more about jiu-jitsu competition, because I was really pleased a couple of weekends ago. So I commentated at the SGC. The SGC is Jamie Houston's promotion. Jamie Houston, one of the biggest promoters for MMA in the Southeast. He's put on tons, 50-plus MMA shows. He's had multiple guys in the UFC fight on his shows. He's, again, a big player in that world. Well, he started doing grappling show, and this past one was his fourth show. So over the past year, he's done 4 shows, and he's just signed a contract with Flow Grappling to do, I believe, 8 over the next 2 years. So that's a big deal. And I've been commentating his shows, and this past one, 2 of our students competed on it. Evan Stapler, a purple belt. He's really talented. You guys might remember from the PGF. He was definitely one of the fan favorites and a little bit of a controversial figure in season 2, but he had a killer season as a blue belt. He competed. He won his super fight. And then we had Travis Thomas, who's really becoming one of my main pupils, if not my main pupil. Like, him and Nakai are definitely the 2 students I spend the most time with personally teaching. And Travis is a freak. He's a blue belt, and I gave him his blue belt after 6 months. And honestly, he's right on the verge of purple belt after 14 months. But I'm talking about this because Travis did something that I think is super important, especially, like, to me, this is the most important aspect of competing, and it's why we compete. And it's what always really made me happy about my competition when I think back, especially during my blue and purple belt years, was losing to somebody and then coming back 6, 7, 8 months later and beating them and tapping them. And I did that a few different times at blue and purple belt, where at blue belt, that's probably my worst competition belt. I definitely took the most losses at blue belt, especially early on. But at purple belt, I avenged pretty much, I think I avenged every single one of those losses. I think I lost 4 times at blue belt, and I avenged 3 of them. And all with subs, like, really beat the guys that had beat me pretty badly a year later. And Travis did just that. So Travis was a brand new blue belt, which is crazy, after about 7 or 8 months of training. And he won his first blue belt competition, but his second competition at blue belt was a super fight against this guy named Dylan. And Dylan comes from a very, very, very good school, Westside MMA in Arkansas. That's where Bryce Mitchell trains at. There's a bunch of guys. Like, it is a hotbed. And, like, Arkansas best school, definitely Westside MMA. Their head coach, Rolly Delgado, is a UFC vet. He had multiple UFC fights. Dude's a stud. Big fan of Rolly Delgado. But anyways, Travis fought Dylan, who's a blue belt there, but he also wrestled in college. Just a very, very good grappler. And Travis, he got beat pretty badly. And it was his first loss in jiu-jitsu. I think he went 22-0 before that match. And so that was his first loss. And it was a big deal for him because he got submitted. He got his guard passed a couple of times. Travis threw up some pretty sloppy offense on bottom. And Dylan was just the better grappler at this point. And so Dylan saw Travis's, you know, pop triangles and a couple of the submissions he tried on bottom. And he navigated beautifully, passed Travis's guard a couple of times. And Travis ended up going for a leg lock. So he got his guard back, he got underneath, and he tried to go for a leg lock. And he made a big mistake, and he got counter leg locked. He got inside heel hooked. And this is a match Travis has been thinking a lot about. So I think it's been 6-7 months since they competed. And Travis, they both entered the SGC. And what happened in this SGC format is if you won your super fight, you got an opportunity to compete in the absolute. And so the absolute was for, you had a chance at winning $1,500. And so both Dylan and Travis dominated their opponents. Travis tapped his in like 30 seconds, and Dylan won his match in like a minute and a half. And when they set up the bracket, the absolute bracket, if Dylan and Travis both won, they were going to face each other. And they've become kind of homies. You know, they're both fighting MMA, and again, they've already competed against each other. So they'll talk back and forth a little bit, just kind of keep up with each other. And when they saw that, Travis was like, oh, man. He, like, told Dylan, like, man, I can't wait to avenge my loss. And Dylan kind of laughed, but Travis was dead serious. Like, that's the match he came for. He knew Dylan was competing. Travis was like, well, I'm going to win my super fight. He's going to win a super fight, and we're going to match up in the absolute. And Dylan looked amazing in his super fight match. But Travis has improved so much. So I was really interested to see what was going to happen. And they had a great match. So Travis and both Dylan both dominated their first round matchups. They face in the second round of the absolute. And Travis ends up getting, so Dylan gets the inside heel hook position. But Travis defended beautifully. He ended up taking the back, Dylan's back off the heel hook attempt. And he ended up rear naked choking Dylan. And it was a huge win for him. And those are, to me, are the most important wins in competition, is when you come back within a period of time and you beat the opponent that just beat you. There is no better feeling, and there's really no better just proof that you've gotten better. It gave me so much confidence. At purple belt, I had a phenomenal run. I really killed it at purple. This was before my surgery and everything. And at brown and black, I did fine. I won more matches than I lost. And I had some really good matches at brown and black belt, but I didn't have very many. I think I had 10 matches between brown and black belt, and my record was 7-3. So, no, actually, I was 7-4. So I was 7-4 between brown and black belt, which isn't bad. And 2 of those losses were by EBIOT. So, anyways, I was 7-4. But at purple belt, I think I was like 20-3. But I had some really, really good performances, and I dominated a handful of tournaments. And what gave me a lot of that confidence was seeing how much I had improved between blue and purple. At purple belt, going, and especially like right when I got my purple belt, I had some rematches to guys I'd lost at blue belt, and I dominated them. I tapped them. And it just made me go, oh, man, I have gotten way better. A couple of those guys, like, were really good, and they dominated me just 8 months ago. But I doubled down on my training, and now I'm dominating them. And so seeing Travis do that, it just reminded me, and it was a big, I'm telling you, this kid right now, he's got tons and tons of confidence. Because, yeah, you can tell your athlete as a coach, like, oh, man, you're improving, you're getting better. But that can be hard to see sometimes day to day in the gym. You're rolling with a lot of the same guys, and you get visitors coming in, but you don't know how good those visitors are. But like I said, Dylan had dominated Travis. He had beaten him pretty good. It wasn't just a quick heel. It was like, no, he'd gotten passed a couple of times. Dylan had a good look at a Kimura attempt. Travis escaped. Travis threw up a couple of offensive positions. Dylan escaped. Travis got underneath, went for the leg, and he got countered. But it was a three, four-minute match. And, yeah, Travis knew that he was not the better man that night. So for him to come back 6, 7 months later and win like he did, take the back off of the heel hook attempt and get the rear naked choke, just a really emphatic win. It's, man, he's got to fight this weekend. And I can just feel that confidence that he got from that tournament, because he went on and ended up beating 2 brown belts in that bracket. And then he lost in the finals to a black belt from Brazil. He's the head coach actually at Westside MMA. So him and Roy Delgado are the two head coaches. So, I mean, 14 months of training, Travis went toe-to-toe with the guy that had been training 14 years and is the head coach at one of the best gyms, honestly, in the country. I mean, if you produced Bryce Mitchell, and that's what you like, if your gym produced Bryce Mitchell, you're one of the best best gyms in the world. Not just, oh, they're good for Arkansas. Like, no, that they're a really good school. They've got really, really tough dudes for any scene. And Travis just had a phenomenal showing. But the confidence I've seen from that, especially from him beating Dylan, is, I mean, you can't get that confidence from any other way than going out and competing, losing, and then going and facing that same guy 6 months, a year and a half later, and smoking them and winning. So I want you guys to take that challenge and like really, like I've talked about this before in a podcast, is like, you should be like every 6 months, every year, you should be making ground on the guys that are better than you. If somebody beats you in competition, your goal should be in 6 months to a year that you're beating them in competition. And if you continue, like if you have that mindset and you get a couple of those, like you lose to somebody in competition and then you go on to beat them, I'm telling you, that will do more for your confidence in your jiu-jitsu than anything else. Anything else. This is episode number 312. It's mind-blowing. One of my students, they didn't even realize I had a podcast, because I'm telling you, I don't ever really talk about it. Like, I've never really pushed this. And they found out about it, I guess, last week. And he was like, man, like, I've really been enjoying your podcast. I had no idea you had one. He's been training with us for, he actually just got his blue belt. So he's been here for, you know, a year and a half. And he's like, I just cannot believe how many episodes you have. Like, how many do you have? And I was like, dude, I'm over 300. And I just looked, and yeah, this is episode number 312. As always, I appreciate the love and support you guys give me. I've had a few of you guys message me over the past couple of months, especially now that traveling has opened up and people are, you know, you're able to travel a lot more freely, about training here. Man, I'm telling you, I would love for any of you guys, if you want to come get a training session in, our doors are always open. Come in. If you mention the podcast, if you like want to come train with me, like it's not going to cost you anything. Just come train with me. If you want to get a private lesson, I charge start at $75. It's really cheap for a black belt. I know most black belts, it's $100+, and I just enjoy doing it. So if you want to get a private lesson from me, $75, hit me up. But yeah, hope to see some of you guys in the training room, but always feel free to message me if you have any questions or something you want me to talk about. I enjoy chatting it up with some of you guys and helping you out with some of your jiu-jitsu issues. Peace.